Well, Luke chapter 2, I'll just start in verse 1, and you can't really start without that, but we're only going to read until verse 8. And it came to pass in those days that there went a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you how precise you have chosen to give us your word, and that time and time again it can be examined and proven as truth, as valid, as viable, and as powerful. Lord, we thank you that you prophesied all of these things. You fulfilled these things. And Lord, we can know by your Holy Spirit the power and presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray that you'd come upon us this morning, help us understand your word, and look with greater joy to your coming again. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you will turn with me back to Micah chapter 4, we're very familiar with Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, where we're told that in Bethlehem, Ephrata, the Savior would be born. But if you go back just a few verses in Micah chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 7 through 10 here. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation, and her that, and the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Now why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. And we'll stop there. But here, just before, we have note that in Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be little among thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. Just before this, it talks about the woman in travail. And just before that, it says the shout of dominion, the shout of a kingdom, the trumpet saying, here is the king, would come to a place called the Tower of the Flock. A place that the Bible calls, or that geographically is called Migdal Eder. Let's turn some lights off. We have a few pictures today. This tower here is Migdal Eder. Sometimes when we think about pictures, the artist's depictions of... let's keep the back one on if we can, David. Thank you. Helps with a little more light in here. We think of just shepherds in the field, and we take Luke 2 where it says there were shepherds in the field, and they were. But it wasn't just a big empty field with a few stone fences. There was a tower there. And this is another point where God specifically said what was going to happen. The message this morning, Brother Alex, fits so well. I love it when God brings two messages together so perfectly. And all prophecy, as Brother Alex reminded us, time and time and time again through the life of Christ, the word fulfilled is used. And because Micah chapter 4, the wording is, there's it's a dual prophecy. It's about Israel being taken into Babylon, but it's also about the coming of Messiah. So as you read through, you can be looking at it going, okay, what's the time out here, or where is what? But this, speaking of Israel's coming dominion, that's certainly not them falling into the hands of Babylon. A shout of dominion, a shout of, here is the counselor, here is the king that is within you, and he is coming. God told them hundreds of years before, the first proclamation would be at the Tower of the Flock. It wasn't just some random shepherds in a field. It wasn't just just the first people the angels happened upon on their flight from heaven. They were very specific shepherds. This place was a special place. We'll get into the shepherds in a moment, but this place itself was a special place. Migdal Eder, we first find all the way back in Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35, it was erected by Isaac. Now, whether he erected the tower itself or just the pillar, that is up for debate if you want to debate it. Either way, he made the landmark. Genesis chapter 35 and verses 19 through 21 says, "And Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the tower in Edar." So there, Jacob, Israel, the one who God gave the name Israel, so the man who has power with God, the one who had the promise that through his lineage, the Messiah would come for the whole world, the one who carried the promise of his father that in him all nations of the world would be blessed. He came to this field, and he lost the love of his life, and he erected a tower. And he said, this place is a special place. And he spread his tents and stayed there. The place was Migdal Eder. If you go into the book of Ruth and study the geography of it, the fields of Boaz were the fields of Edar. Edar, whichever way you want to say it. Again, you find very special people in the lineage of Christ. A very special occasion that you cannot do without took place in these fields of Edar. And then, if you go into 1 Samuel 16, you find Samuel commissioned to go and find a new king for Israel. And he goes into the fields in the hills outside of Bethlehem. Guess what that is? That's the fields of Edar. And there, because of fear for Saul, God says, well, go and do a sacrifice. So you find a sacrificial lamb slain with the anointing of the king, who was the picture of the Christ to come, in the fields of Edar. And then in Micah, when Israel will not listen to God, and God says, you are bound for Babylon, you're bound for a time of chastising, but when you return, keep an eye on the fields of Edar, the tower of the flock. And all that, there was another picture to make us think of the fields of Edar, so we'll go there, but you can, Caleb, you can go ahead and skip to the third slide. Excuse me. Well, we've got ahead there, but that's all right. Yeah, so we'll stay there. So when Israel was in Babylon, they began writing down their law as beyond the Torah. They began writing the Talmud and the Mishnah, the books that guided Judaism and their way of following the Torah from that point. And as they were writing these things, they kept in mind the scriptures and the things that God had told them. And so, as they came back from Babylon, they did not forget the prophecy in Micah chapter 4. And the fields between Jerusalem and Bethlehem became a consecrated area, became a place where they only kept the temple flocks. The sheep in those areas, as you went through, all of those were to be sheep without blemish. The shepherds were Levitical shepherds. They were of the tribe of Levi. They were priest shepherds. They had a very special job of keeping those sheep just right, of making the very best of lines to have prominence within their flocks, and of getting rid of the other ones. It'd be like a greater extent of when you go into breeding show animals, right? This one is born, and you're looking for, okay, how are the hips positioned? Is there how does the hair lay? Is there any kind of discoloration, disformation, any of those things? And certain things, you can't register that one because it doesn't fit the qualification. But this lamb, this one's from such and such a sire, or ram, and such a ewe, and man, they've got all these perfect bloodlines, and man, they're going to be perfect sheep. That's what you found in these fields. Because when they came back from Babylon, they became the fields of the temple flocks. They literally, in this particular place, outside of Bethlehem, because of its proximity to Jerusalem, became kind of the central location. And this particular tower, which meant so much... Let's go on to the next slide there, Caleb. This particular tower, which meant so much to Israel from Jacob's day forward, became the tower of the flock, Migdal Eder. These shepherds were no ordinary shepherds. They knew what their sheep were about. And every lamb that was born went through a process of examining. Will this lamb be good enough to be a sacrifice for the sins of our nation? Does this lamb picture the Messiah? I don't know if it's true, but in my own mind, I think those shepherds being so close to the symbolism of it all may have had a better understanding of what they were doing than the priests and the Pharisees and Sadducees in the temple. They were all about the ceremony. They were all about, well, we do the sacrifices. We take the sin of the people. We're the teachers. But these shepherds in the field, as they took that lamb, is there any spots here? The Messiah can have no spots. Is there any mark of sin here? In my mind, they would have had a better understanding of the coming of Messiah than the Jewish leaders did. They may not have been looked at as important, but their job was the basis of all the prophecies, all the symbolism in the Old Testament law. The Mishnah was so specific of this area. If animals wandered in, if you were a shepherd in neighboring fields and you lost your animals, they wandered in and they fit, you lost a spotless ram. Oh, we got a new breeding lamb. He's part of the temple flock now. If it was in Idar, it's part of the flock. Now, there's some wonderful spiritual pictures in that as well. But we won't go into that today. There is directions for how to care for the sheep. There is directions of who the shepherds were to be and so forth. It was a very special place. Now this tower had an upper and a lower area. The upper area, of course, was a lookout for the shepherds to stand. And he could see not just his fold, not just the sheep that were around, but one or two shepherds could get up there and he could see a broad area. As you can see, there's a wide open plain. And he could see if there was any dangers. He could see if a sheep was taken off on its own. He could see what was going on. But below, in the bottom half of that tower, was a stable. Let's go to the next slide, Caleb. And that stable is where ewes and labor were brought in. See, these shepherds were different. When the ewes began to show signs of labor, they weren't left in the field. They weren't helped in the field. Those shepherds got together and they coaxed or carried that sheep into the stable. And they helped that lamb come out. And they immediately took that lamb. This is amazing. They immediately took that lamb and they wrapped it in swaddling clothes. Let's go to the next slide. And they laid it in a limestone manger in the bottom of this tower. The Mishnah was very specific on how to care for the temple flock. So let me tell you something. When the angels came and they gave that message, it wasn't just to any old shepherds. And it wasn't just some markers about what the Messiah would look like. He was speaking their language. He said, "Your Messiah, those perfect lambs that you take out and you examine for any spot, and then you wrap up so they don't accidentally, when they get up on their feet, they don't fall and get a scratch and damage themselves. You wrap them up and you place them in that manger and you coddle them and you take care of them and you make sure that they stay perfect." Guess what? The Messiah came, the Lamb of God. And He's being cradled in loving arms. And He's being wrapped in swaddling clothes because He is perfect. And He's being laid in the manger where He will not be damaged. And the shepherds went, "I know about that. I know about that." Go to this next slide there. Turn, if you will, back to Luke chapter 2. Now we're going to read that angel's message. "And the angel of the Lord came upon them." Probably the first guy to notice was the guy up in the tower. "Oh, guys, something's happening." Maybe some woke up. Maybe some were in the lower parts and came running out. I don't know. But they got attention. And the angel comes. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they're out in the dark field. And it all lights up. And the angel of the Lord says, "Fear not." I probably would have been scared too. You know? Middle of the night, dark, everything's normal. And you got huge lights from heaven shining on you. "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Great. That's all the angel had to say. Okay, these were the temple shepherds. These were the guys who understood this thing inside and out. That is all this angel had to say. And then the angel says, "And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go now even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Now, notice, they don't say, let's go see if this thing. There's no if. There's no wonder. It's a statement of fact. Hey guys, it happened. Let's go now and see this thing which is come to pass. The angel just had to say, look, this is for you. And the shepherds say, I know what he's talking about. This is it. This is the real deal. And they went. Now. It says they went with haste. And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad those things which are which was told them concerning this child. Hey guys, who are the shepherds? Who are the ones who have to follow the Mishnah? We're the ones who have to follow the Talmud and do all these things. And guess what? It just happened. We were at the Tower of the Flock. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's laying in a manger. He's in Bethlehem. What more can you ask for? This is the child. Their reaction they saw that child and they made known abroad the saying which was told them. Let's go to the next slide. Likewise, we are called to come to our Good Shepherd. We're supposed to know as Christians what God says to us, how He draws us to Himself, how He calls us, how He leads us. We're supposed to hear His voice. You see, these shepherds went right now because they knew what it was about. Everything said was speaking to them. Turn, if you will, to Psalm 61. We need to learn a lesson from the message of to the shepherds. When God speaks to us, this is the first lesson. When God speaks to us, we should make haste to come and see, to come and learn more, to come and follow. In Psalm 61, David cries, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from my enemy." Now, David, often through the Psalms, he goes back to his shepherd days, doesn't he? He says, "Lead me to a rock that is higher than I. Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." If Jacob built a tower, if this tower is what he built, not just a pillar, but a pillar that was a tower as well, then David might have been speaking of Migdal Eder itself, the tower of the flock. He says, "Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." A place where, when God is speaking to my heart, that's where I need to go. In His shelter. In His strength. In His tower. When I'm overwhelmed, that is where I need to go. When my heart cries out, when I don't know my way, when I'm looking for God's will, I need to head for the tower. For my spiritual Migdal Eder. Christ is the watchman, and I have a shelter underneath His wings. Underneath the view of His care as a place of strength, a place of hiding in Him. But I want to tell you something. A place of safety in God, in Christ, is also a place of consecration and examination. Think about that. Sometimes when we read the Psalms, we connect with David. From the end of the earth I will cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. And we think, life is so bad. Oh, I'm just overwhelmed. I just need some comfort. Oh, let me curl up in that stable. Let me just find a place of not feeling so bad. And oftentimes we look through the Psalms that say those things and we only look for a mushy comfort. But what happened in the bottom of that tower? I'll tell you. That sheep that was laying in the field beginning to travail needed comfort, didn't it? Childbirth isn't easy. Lambing isn't easy. That ewe's pretty uncomfortable when the lamb's coming out. And those shepherds, again, they're different than other shepherds. They'd go and they'd get that ewe in its time of lambing. And they'd bring it in. And they would help it. And they would comfort it and they would take care of it. But in doing so, their idea was not, to coddle that sheep. But their idea was to perfect the lamb that was coming. Their idea was for the next step. You see, sometimes we want to be the you. Oh God, my life is horrible. Would you just pat my back? Would you just rub my head or something? Make me feel better. But just like Brother Alex was preaching, those times of suffering are not just for God to put His arm around our shoulder and say, it's okay, your life's almost over. You'll be up here soon. That's not what it's about. God's idea of bringing us through a time of hardship is for us to be consecrated, for us to be sanctified, for an examination to happen. That lamb comes out and those shepherds went over every inch of it. When we come into the tower, it's not supposed to be God to just make me feel better. It's God, what needs to happen for me to draw closer to You? Because that's what actually draws us closer to the Father. When we are examined, and when we allow ourselves to be examined, David said, try my reins. He said, I can't examine myself. Here, God, You do it. I look at myself and I go, I'm a man of integrity. Got that one. Hey, God called me a man after His own heart. Got that one. Oh, all my enemies, and they come after me, and they fall. I got that one. David said, look, I examined myself, and that's what I see. I can't do it. God, You try my reins. We're just the same. We look at ourselves, oh, man, I've got Scripture memorized pretty good. And I got saved. Yep, got that one. Oh, man, God, I got all these things in order, so the fact that I'm overwhelmed, I just need You to remind me that of Your peace and of Your comfort and Your Holy Spirit's presence. Then I'll be good to go again. No, that's not what it's about. These Levitical shepherds, who knows how many sheep they delivered? Who knows how many lambs? They were people. they put all that into a lamb, and probably they got attached to a few of them. Probably they, you know, they named this one right as he came out. Oh, he looks like an Amos. They always call this little guy Amos. And one day, he gets to be 9 months old or whatever. And they tried to send the other ones. This guy was special. And so they try to send the other ones down to Jerusalem. But one day, there wasn't any other ones. They got attached to the sheep too. Sometimes we say, Lord, you know, I got my good little part of life. God, why that was my place. Why is that one falling apart? And God says, come in the tower and I want to show you something. Come into that place. He says, secret place. Away from everybody else. Just me and you. I want to talk to your heart. I want to show you something. Those shepherds, they knew what to look for. They'd seen thousands of sheep. And they probably got attached to a few of them. But when they heard of the one, they left the flock in the field. When they heard of the Lamb of God, forget these sheep. We aren't going to need them anymore. This is the Messiah. This is the perfect Lamb of God, the eternal sacrifice. We ain't going to need them anymore. Now, they were people just like us. They probably didn't understand it. That didn't mean all the messianic prophecies happened right then. They were still going to be doing sacrifices for a few years. So they had to go back to their daily lives. But right then, there's the Lamb. Forget these. This is done away with. They were the first to understand that. They came to the Lamb and they said, concerning this child, this is the one. Sometimes we get caught up in our lives. We get caught up in our understanding, whatever, and we say, I got this covered. Part of it is because we know in our hearts, if we get any closer to the Lamb, we'll find some area that needs fixing in our heart, isn't there? It's a place of safety, yes. It's a place of comfort, yes. But it's also a place of consecration, sanctification, examination. Psalm 27 and verse 5 says, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Here's another interesting correlation. They placed those lambs in a manger carved out of limestone. Hidden in the pavilion, the secret of his tabernacle set up on a rock. It's a beautiful picture. I think David knew something that we forget. Or maybe we didn't know. Times of trouble are supposed to cause growth. Go to the next line. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and ye shall find rest for your souls. He never said rest for your life. He said rest for your souls. He said he'll give you peace in the time of storm, peace in the time of the world falling apart around you. That was Psalm 61. Come unto me. Again, we see the action of the shepherds back in Luke 2 again. So we saw the reaction. They said, let's go. Let's see the action when they had confirmed it, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." God's calling us the same way. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." Are we following him? He called us to come and see the Lamb. He calls us to salvation. He calls us into the tower in the time of our being overwhelmed, but not for our comfort, but that we be comforted by his holiness. That only happens when we are examined and purified. When we allow him to have his way with us, we find rest for our souls. But then what? Are we to stay in that tower, just peeking out the door, trembling, watching the world fall apart, and, "Oh, I'm safe here. Boy, I hope Jesus comes back soon. If I stick my head out too far, I might get bit off." No, the shepherd, even those shepherds, they had the tower, they had their folds, but they still took their sheep out into pasture, didn't they? That pasture, time and time again in the Bible, is a picture of our life. We're fed, we're watered, we walk, we fall, we wander, we're retrieved. There's lots of pictures about us being the sheep following the shepherd. These shepherds, that's a lesson we learn. They came to the Lamb. It was confirmed in their hearts, and they went out and they made known abroad all these things concerning this child. They went, you know, some people have confused Migdal Eder as the stable because it has so many perfect pictures as we've just looked at. They think, well, maybe this is where Christ was born. It's the stable. But you read Luke 2, and it says there was the shepherds, as we see in Micah 4, the shadow of dominion coming to the tower of the flock. So there's the shepherds out in the tower. So you compare that with Luke 2, and it says, and the angels are told there, go into Bethlehem, and the shepherds go down into Bethlehem. So they go into the city, and then they're going out through the city because they're telling all these people. This tower is up on in the hills outside. You miss all the people if that's the birthplace of Christ. That's just a bit of archaeology for you. But the point is, they met Jesus and they told everybody. They didn't care that it was the middle of the night. They made known abroad. They're singing and dancing in the streets. They're jumping up and down. They're pounding on the doors and windows. The Messiah has come! And the people, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now, I'm sure some of those people said, those are the Levitical shepherds. Probably everybody did. I mean, Bethlehem, that was the kind of the religious outskirts of Jerusalem. Again, the missional place, the central part of all the temple flocks in the Bethlehem area. So, probably everybody knew that those are the Levite shepherds. And so some of them said, hey, if they know, then it must be. Some of them probably thought, wow, you guys just go back to bed. Some of them probably thought, man, you guys are nuts. You're just dirty shepherds. Get back out of town. Let me ask you something. When you share the gospel, do you care what somebody thinks? Do you care? Does it affect your sharing of the gospel because of what they might think? And these shepherds didn't care. Yeah, everybody knows who we are. But so what? Yeah, it's the middle of the night. But so what? The Lamb is here. The Lamb of God. God led them back out of the stable, back to their jobs. Again, when they heard that message, they probably thought, forget these lambs. I want that one. Forget these sacrifices. He is the one. But they went back to work. When we've been with Jesus, He still leads us through daily life. But He expects us, just like the shepherds, to be changed with every encounter we have with Him. To be immediate in our response when we hear His voice. And to share with others what He's done for us. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 says, And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Let me ask you, do you believe that this morning, this afternoon? Do you believe that your salvation is closer today than when you ask Christ to save you? Now, that doesn't mean that your salvation is a coupon for later, okay? It doesn't mean there's a rain check. It doesn't mean that you might lose your salvation in between now and then. The day you believe, the day you ask Christ as your Savior, wash away your sin. You say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner, and I understand my sin keeps me out of heaven and causes me to deserve the just punishment in hell. You're saved right then. When you believe on the blood of Jesus Christ, washing your sins away. And the Bible says you're sealed by the Holy Spirit from that point unto the day of redemption. See, this day of salvation mentioned in Romans, the day of redemption there in Ephesians. That's the rapture. That's when He takes redeems us from this life. Or the day that you pass. And God says, okay, your life is over. Come spend eternity with me. But now is the time to awake out of sleep, Paul told the Roman church. The shepherds, some of them probably were sleeping. They got up and they ran into town. They pounded on all the doors on their way out. Wake up. Now's the time. Because salvation, the day of salvation, is nearer now than when we believed. I don't know about you, but this year I think I can honestly say I've witnessed more than I ever have in one year. And I can't say I'm proud of myself for that, because honestly it was not a very good amount. There's lots of opportunities where God spoke to my heart and said, you should have said something to Him. Like, you know. But I did better this year. I hope you can say the same. Can we do better next year? If God gives us another year, can we do better? Can we be more like the shepherds? Make known abroad. It doesn't matter. They might think, oh, you're one of those Christian people. There's someone a couple days ago got beat to death with an oxygen tank in a hospital for praying. If that was you, would you keep praying?
Or would you cower, or would you run?
They made known abroad. Somebody said, ew, dirty Christian. But they kept on. You say, well, you know, I'm kind of their friend and I don't want to mess up my friendship with them. It's not going to mess up your friendship. And if they turn from Christ, that's between them and God. If you don't say anything to them, that's between their judgment. Can be between you and God. Think about that. A couple lessons from the shepherds. They knew what they were about. Do we know what we're about? We find that in the Word. They knew who they were looking for, and they went immediately when they heard. Do we start working on changes right away when we hear God speaking to us? And they went and they told others what God had done for them. Do we, like the shepherds, go and tell others what God has done for us? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for its precision. And thank you most of all for sending the Lord Jesus Christ, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not just to save us, but to lead us, to direct us, to teach us, to be the good shepherd. Help us, Lord, this year, follow our shepherd, to be the sheep of your pastures that you desire us to be. In Jesus' name.